Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot. And anyway, welcome to the program. Tonight we're going to be talking with a couple of guys. Stephen Bozell will be on with us to talk more about his daughter's school, CK Corona Middle School, and a teaching there that has a lot of parents up in arms. Ted Bell is also going to join us, and that will be in our second hour. And he's going to be discussing with us California's budget shortfall and what the federal government can do about it. And in his mind, there's quite a bit. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And, of course, head on over to our website, philhendryshow.com. You can see live streaming video of the show right now, Phil TV in HD. You can also check out our Phil Hendry Show shop, where we have all of our best of CDs, where we have all of our merchandise like T-shirts, like coffee mugs, like shot glasses. It's all there at philhendryshow.com. And you got to get a backstage pass so you can check out our live streaming video tonight. Right now, I have, by request, on our video, streaming behind me is the video of a song, Sisters Are Doing It For Themselves. Let me get on the line here, Stephen Bozell from Corona, California, to talk about this video, to talk about what's happening at your daughter's school. You and I have talked in the past, Steve, about, oh, by the way, before we do anything more, I want to get to our affiliate spotlight. Great affiliates on the Phil Hendry Show, KFXR in Dallas and WEEO, Hagerstown, Pennsylvania. All right. Steve, how are you tonight?
We had an interesting weekend, but I'm doing good.
Good. When you and I have talked in the past, we've talked about the liberal agenda that you see, anyway, the liberal agenda in a lot of the schools. You see a liberal agenda emerging in public school as well as in private school. You had us put on screen tonight this video, Sisters Are Doing It For Themselves, as part of an experience you had over the weekend. Can you tell me a little bit about this and what it has to do with your daughter's school and what it had to do with Father's Day?
Well, I mean, Father, you and I have talked in the past that my daughter is being taught at CK Corona by, I think, a group of very intelligent, brilliant women and men. And these are people who have an eye toward, if you want to call it, I guess Bill would say is a college preparatory atmosphere.
Okay.
And the college prep atmosphere, I think, is something that needs to be promoted a lot in our schools. I don't think there's any question that we need to get kids ready for college. I'm not one of these people that doesn't believe in that. So my daughter has, at CK Corona, has not only learned how to master these topics, but she's also learning about powering herself as a woman.
Right, and I've heard of this, I've heard of this kind of curriculum, whereby the kids are taught not just the three R's, but there is an emphasis on the sort of the sexual politics of being a female as opposed to a male.
Yes, sir, that's correct.
But there are boys in the school.
There are boys in the school, but let me take it back to the video.
Now this video that you took of your daughter went viral. And is going viral, is that correct?
And it was not anything that we anticipated.
All right, you didn't anticipate this going, but it has.
My understanding is that it's getting upwards of tens of thousands of hits, but let me say that it was simply a project for her school that we put on YouTube.
And it has gone viral?
Yes, sir.
All right, can you describe it?
Yeah, the video is of my daughter. And again, the context is that we're moving away from a patriarchal society to a matriarchal society.
And can you define that, what you mean by that?
Well, what I mean by that is we're moving away from a society dominated by fathers to a society that's dominated by mothers. To that end, my daughter, April, wanted me to take this video of her where she says, where she had said to me, that morning, Happy Father's Day, and drag your finger across her throat, and we put it on in a video.
She said, okay, hold on, Happy Father's Day, and she dragged a finger across her throat.
Yes, sir. Now, that sounds very dramatic.
And, yes, it does.
And it probably in some ways, that's why people have looked at that as gone viral. But what that meant was that Father's Day will be yielding to Mother's Day in the sense of the importance of the female in the family. And that's all that that meant. That didn't mean that fathers are going to die. It didn't mean that fathers are physically threatened. I understand that that's how I took it.
And well, this all started with you. The morning you woke up on Father's Day, your daughter said Happy Father's Day to you and dragged her finger across her throat, right?
Yes, sir.
And she then had you film this. Did you say anything to her?
I said to her, why would you do that? And she explained to me it's part of a project for school. And I then said to her, what project? She said, I want to do a video playing the song Sisters Is Doing It For Themselves. And I want to have myself in the video, dragging my finger across my throat.
And all right, so, and you went out and you filmed this video?
Yes, sir. I filmed the video, I gave her the tape, which was a small, just a 8mm, I think, or a small digital tape, I'm not sure which. And she and her mother put it on the television and watched it. Now, then April wanted to play the song behind it, and that's what her mother and her brother, rather her mother helped her with. Her brother was out. I was in the house. I saw the two of them working on this video.
All right, I want to get to this point here, Mr. Bozell. We're talking to Stephen Bozell of Corona, California. His daughter, April Jr., apparently has a video that's gone viral, Happy Father's Day, with her dragging her finger across her throat. Now, that is a violent, it's not a violent act, it's a violent symbol.
Yes, but it's not intended as a physical violent symbol.
All right, but did you not tell me, and one of the reasons why I want to have you on the program tonight, you felt a little physically threatened.
No, I didn't feel, I felt that I didn't understand. I felt that I wanted to know more. I felt that I was scared, and that I was, I guess.
You see, there's a certain fear in your voice right now, Mr. Bozell, that I want to express to my audience. While you want to support your daughter, were you not afraid?
I was afraid. I was afraid that I couldn't leave the house.
And why were you afraid that you couldn't leave the house?
Because my wife and my daughter were downstairs playing that song and dancing in front of the mirror. And naturally, I was thinking back on the fact that I had done this video of my daughter who said, Happy Father's Day, and dragged her finger across the throat.
Do you feel threatened right now?
No, sir.
You're being honest with me?
Yes, sir.
What has changed? And you weren't threatened then?
I was, as I said to you, I was nervous because here's what happened. When my daughter, I got up in the morning, she said, Happy Father's Day, and dragged her finger across her throat.
Yes, sir.
And I said, why would you do that? She said, Dad, help me with a project for school. And she disappeared outside before I could say anything more. She just looked at me and said, hey, Dad, would you help me for a project with school? And she kept looking at me for a few seconds and then disappeared outside even as she was looking at me. I don't know if you ever had the experience of someone staring at you and then they walk behind a wall or something, but it was...
Good. Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean.
It was disquieting, so I went outside, I had my video cam, and she started to do a dance, there's no music. I said, April, there's no music. She said, that's okay, we'll put it in later, and she went, Happy Father's Day, and dragged her finger across her throat. I gave her the tape, she went inside, and she said to me that her and her mother would put the music on the tape.
Uh-huh.
And that's when I heard them playing this song, Sisters Is Doing It For Themselves, and I was upstairs, and I felt like I wanted to leave, but I would go down the stairs, and they would see me and stop their dancing. I don't know why they stopped, but...
Were they talking to you?
It looked like they wanted to talk, but I would just turn around and go back in the bedroom. I was not able to get out of the house until about 6 o'clock that week.
Were you kept inside the house?
I feel that I was.
Did anybody physically restrain you?
No one physically restrained me, but understand when your daughter says Happy Father's Day and drags her finger across her throat, and then plays, and I think I gave the song to the man.
Yeah, you gave it to Jason, Jason Rance, our producer, and we're going to play it. The sisters are doing it for themselves.
That's right. When I
take your time.
When I wanted to leave, I tried to get out. My wife looked at me and my daughter looked at me and stopped dancing. I would turn around and go back inside then. The next day at CK Corona was the day of my daughter's, the day of your daughter's wedding, where Erica Dorton, who's the principal, gave my daughter a, I guess gave my daughter a preview. They played it for the school. I was able to leave the house at that time, but I got a call from the school asking me to come down and to watch this. So for a 48-hour period, I was pretty much exposed to this. And I was scared, but then I understood.
All right, let's stop right there. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Stephen Bozell is on the line. His daughter did a video that has even now gone viral. In it, she drags her finger across her throat and says, Happy Father's Day, and then plays this song by the Eurythmics. Is that it, Steve?
I believe it's by Aretha Franklin or Eurythmically.
Aretha Franklin and Aretha Franklin.
Aretha Franklin and the Eurythmics and Aretha Franklin. And
all right, so they sing this song. You were asked to help your daughter with this. Your daughter, not only did you help your daughter, but you were asked to come to the school to watch this. You were frightened, now you're not. Why were you frightened? You were frightened because you felt threatened, is that correct?
I don't want to say that I did, because I know now the mistake I made.
What mistake did you make?
My mistake was that I didn't understand the situation in our country. You have to understand, Mr. Henry, there's a matriarchal and a patriarchal way, and the fathers have ruled the roost for a long time.
No, you're giving me a lot of politics, and I understand that. And you understand that what your daughter was trying to say was that we need to have mothers in charge instead of fathers. Is that it?
Yes, sir.
But why were you frightened? And I know why you were frightened, and I think my audience knows why. But I want you to tell me.
I was frightened for wrong reasons.
You were scared, and you didn't want to leave the house because your wife and daughter were downstairs singing and dancing to this. Sisters are doing it for themselves, and your daughter just dragged her finger across her throat, didn't she?
Yes, sir, but she didn't do it because she wanted to kill me. She did it because she wanted to kill our father. The patriarchal society is what I thought.
Are you still afraid?
I talked to Mrs. Dorton. And
are you still afraid? Isn't this the Mrs. Dorton that has called your home late at night?
Yes, sir, it is. But I talked to Mrs. Dorton, and she was... I didn't talk to her, per se, but I talked to her assistant, who told me that Mrs. Dorton was pleased with my daughter.
Have you talked to this Mrs. Dorton?
No, you're not allowed to, but...
Our number is 877-876-PHIL. A man's daughter is taught about the emerging matriarchal society to the point where she's dragging her finger across her throat and saying, Happy Father's Day. This video that he did with his daughter has gone viral, right, Steve?
Get my understanding, yeah.
He spent that first day frightened, thinking that there was a potential for harm coming from your daughter and your wife. And now you say you feel better about it because you understand the meaning of this video and you don't think there's any violent intent.
No, I don't think there is. I think there's only violence if the men... What Mrs. Dorton said to me is if the men resist.
If the men resist. And this is Mrs. Dorton, the principal.
Well, but that's down the road.
All right, hold on. 877-876-PHIL. What do you think about that for a liberal curriculum? Radio for Patriots by Patriots investigating a little girl at a middle school who did a video that has now gone viral to the tune Sisters Are Doing It For Themselves, in which she says Happy Father's Day and drags her finger across her throat, helped by her father. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with Stephen Bozell from Corona, California, as we talk more about CK Corona Middle School, where his daughter is going to school. If you're watching Phil TV in HD right now, behind me you see the video, Sisters Are Doing It For Themselves, which was Aretha Franklin with the Eurythmics, and this was a song that your daughter wanted inserted into this video she did for her school. Now, this school, Steve, that your daughter goes to is known as College Prep, very liberal, and also a school that is apparently engages in all of these marvelous liberal concepts, and this being a sort of female empowerment concept of the matriarchal society.
The idea that America is run by men in the family, and what Mrs. Masters, along with Erica Dorton, they have introduced the belief that the family will be taken over by women, and that the workplace eventually is going to be female dominated. To that end, they wanted the children to do a project on how Father's Day will be different as the years go by, and that's what my daughter.
That's when your daughter greeted you on Sunday morning with Happy Father's Day and a finger across her throat like a throat cut.
Yes, sir.
And that frightened you.
I want to de-emphasize the frightened part, Mr. Henry, because I think, you're not seeing...
Didn't it frighten you?
You're not seeing what I want you to see here.
No, but can you answer that question?
You're not seeing what I want you to see. Erica Dorton came into that school when it was a drug-infested, there was racial violence.
But I understand that the school has been brought back. Did it not frighten you when your daughter said, when your daughter said Happy Father's Day and dragged her finger across her throat?
I want you to see the right way.
So you don't want to answer my question?
If you could just let me, Mr. Andrew, I want you to see how much my daughter has meant to me.
And all right, so you won't answer my question. Were you frightened at all that day?
I wanted to tell you about the curriculum of the school, and you were continually harping on whether or not I was frightened. I told you in the very beginning.
You told me in the beginning that you were frightened when your daughter dragged her finger across her throat. You were frightened by your daughter and your wife dancing in front of a mirror down in the living room. You were frightened because you didn't feel like you could leave the house. Every time you tried to go out of the house, your wife and your daughter stopped and stared at you. You said you were frightened when your daughter said, Daddy, will you help me with a video, and kept staring at you as she walked outside.
Again, you don't know what Erica Dorton has done.
I'm sure that Erica Dorton has done some wonderful things. I'm just asking you, how did you go from being frightened to now all of a sudden you endorse the curriculum?
I believe that what Erica Dorton has done has opened our eyes to the real day when women are going to take it over. Women are going to be more in charge of the family, and that's why my daughter said sisters are doing it for themselves and wanted to do the video.
And then you were instructed on Monday to come to the school and watch your daughter receive this award.
No, I was not instructed.
Wait, you told me that you were told to go. If you don't go to the school, what happens?
If you don't go to the school, they're naturally going to come and try to see if you're okay. And
they send somebody to get you, don't they?
They want to make sure you're all right, sir.
Don't they send somebody to come and get you?
They want to make sure you're all right. And that's... I wish I could get you to understand.
So your daughter drags a finger across her throat and you're not frightened at all. And when they come and get you, you say it's because they just want to make sure that you're okay. All right, we're talking here with...
Well, you're blowing off a lot of what I said, Mr. Henry, about how women... My daughter's being taught that women are going to... You know, Father's Day was a good day. It was a fine day. We don't need it anymore.
And then the finger goes across the throat. I understand. All right, our number is 877...
No, sir, you don't... don't understand.
Our number, hold on, 877-876-7445. Stephen Bozell with a video that he did for his daughter that's gone viral. And it shows his daughter saying, Happy Father's Day, dragging a finger across her throat and dancing to Sisters Are Doing It For Themselves. He was scared to death to leave his house on Saturday. Now, all of a sudden, he's okay with it. Your call's coming up next, 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Stephen Bozell from Corona, California, on the line with us right now. Stephen, we're talking about your daughter's school and the videos they had her do. They had the kids do a project on how Father's Day will have less importance and how mothers will have more importance in families. Am I right about that?
I have to be careful.
And why do you have to be careful? I don't understand.
I don't want to misrepresent it.
You say you have to be careful.
You're trying to get me to say things that I don't want to say and will be misrepresented and misconstrued by Dorton.
And by Dorton, this woman that runs this school.
Miss Dorton has run the school and has done a good job. And if I say things that you want me to say, which is to disparage the school, then Dorton is going to...
Why don't you refer to her as Mrs. Dorton or Ms. Dorton?
Her name is Ms. Dorton, and I have...
No, you call her Dorton.
We are asked to refer to her as Dorton. Yes, sir.
You're asked to refer to her as Dorton. Now, she runs the school.
You've got the wrong idea. The project was given by Ms. Masters, who is the head of the homeroom teacher of the sixth grade. The kids were told to go out and do a project that shows how irrelevant Father's Day would become. It's not against fathers. It means that women are, and the sisters is doing it for themselves, like the song. That's why I've told you about the song. I think you've overdone it a little bit. You're playing a video over and over on the TV show that you're doing, and have not given me the chance to explain to you that, yes, it's about sisters doing it for themselves, but men have a part too. Right here is Dave Stewart in that video, and he's twirling around the room. He looks like a man that has been given drugs and is being forced to dance like an ass by women. So that's the part of the video I don't agree with.
So when you looked at that video, Dave Stewart of Eurythmics jumping around, you say he's forced to dance like an ass by women after he's been given drugs, and you don't agree with that.
I don't agree. I don't think they've represented it, what Dorton wants to represent, properly at all.
But with your little daughter dragging her finger across her throat, that represents what the school is trying to say.
Oh, my God. All I'm trying to say is that...
You know, hold on for a minute, Mr. Bozell. You know, there's no need to get emotional here.
Well, you've misrepresented what I'm saying, and all I was trying to say was that is the death of the concept of Father's Day. She don't want to cut my throat. My daughter would never want to cut my throat unless I did something that would, if I was going to molest her, then I'd want her to cut my throat. And that's one of the reasons why they put that in the video, that Father's Day is dead, and if you are going to molest your daughter, then yes, you would want her to cut your throat from ear to ear.
And what a theme, man. What a message. God.
You have taken it to that extreme, sir.
No, I haven't. I asked you about this liberal agenda at your school. You're telling me about the finger across the throat. You're telling me that that's, well, you see, Mr. Henry, all it is the concept that women are going to take over the family and that women are more empowered. And then, oh, and of course I'd want my daughter to cut my throat if I molested her. How in God's name did that ever come into the conversation? What is it about Father's Day? Isn't that what we were talking about?
Sir, I wish that you would lower your voice.
And all right, I apologize.
But yes, we are talking about Father's Day. And we're talking about a little girl. We're talking about a little girl.
You know, you sound like you're scared.
No, I'm not, and you've tried to get me to say that now.
No, you sound as if you're scared. You sound as if you're panicked. You sound like you, what you said to me on Sunday night when your daughter dragged her finger across her throat and your wife and your daughter were dancing in front of a mirror.
I have the tape recording here. I am playing this under protest. I do not want to play this. Your producer insisted that I did in order that I appear on your program. I'd like to say to Erica Dorton, I think you're a wonderful teacher. And I think that this is privileged communication, Mr. Henry.
We wanted to hear it, otherwise you were not going to be on this show. All right, now what I understand that we have here is a recording of this Dorton calling your house the other night. At what time?
It was at 1:30 a.m., and it was not to harass me. She wanted to talk, but she realized that she'd awakened the family.
Uh-huh.
That's what it was, sir.
She wanted to talk. About what?
Her assistant told me she wanted to make sure that I was going to be there on Monday when my daughter's video...
Didn't she say, I want you there on Monday when the throat cut goes down?
No, she did not. No, she did not. That's a lie. That's a dirty lie that was circulated by another parent that was disgruntled with that's a lie, sir.
All right. Here is a tape recording from the other night, 1:30 in the morning, of this woman calling your home. And let's just go ahead and hear that right now, if we could. Go ahead, fire it off, bud. Well, okay, is that it?
Yeah.
You got that call? Did you say hello?
Yes, I did.
And all I heard was breathing and a song.
Yes, that was Dorton.
Oh, you said Ms. Dorton.
No, I said Dorton.
You were going to say Ms. Dorton.
Yes, I was, but I corrected myself and said Dorton. Or the Dorton.
Play it again if you could, bud, because I want to make sure that I've got this right. This is the actual recording of the phone call. Okay, that's the recording?
For about the 9 billionth time, yes, that's the recording that you have forced me to play on your radio show.
You agreed to play it to be on this show.
You don't...
I want to know what's going on. Are you being threatened? Are you being threatened by this Dorton?
No, I'm not. I'm just...
You don't want to tell me, do you?
If I tell you... what's going on, you would have me put in a madhouse.
Meaning I wouldn't believe it.
Meaning you wouldn't believe it. You'd have me put in a madhouse.
That was her calling your home the other night, breathing into the phone to do what?
She's sending a message.
Yeah. And the message probably was, don't go on my show.
No, it was...
It was what?
Keep your mouth shut.
Keep your mouth shut.
Keep your mouth shut, or we'll shut it for you.
And why do you suppose that was the message, sir?
Because I didn't like the video my daughter did with her throat dragging, or she was dragging her throat across a finger. I mean, she was fingering her. She put her finger in her.
She was dragging her finger.
Yeah, dragging her finger across her throat.
Bud, I think we need to hear it one more time.
Roger.
Please, Mr. Henry, I can't.
I'm going to listen to it one more time.
But the more I hear it... and
I'm going to listen to it one more time because I want to understand. If this is a teacher at your daughter's middle school and this is going on right now, something obviously needs to be addressed, and I think... okay. All right. I think what we have there, sir, is an obvious harassing phone call from the teacher at that middle school, and I think it's something you need to alert the authorities to.
Oh, no, 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 there's no way. There's no way. I alert the authorities to that. They'll make me.
What do you want to do about it, then?
Let me just bide my time. Let me work on it. I think I can back her off.
You can...
Well, go ahead and laugh, okay?
You can back her... Who? Back off who?
Dorton off. I think I can back Dorton off. But you got to give me time. Give me 2 weeks. That's all I ask. 2 weeks.
2 weeks, and then I call the cops.
All right, fine. Now, you know my daughter's been standing here the whole time. I know you're there, honey. And
what has your daughter been saying?
She told me that I was going... My daughter... Let me see this note here. Going where no man has gone before. I think that...
Is that a threat from your daughter?
No, she's gone now. Where's April Jr.? Where's April Jr.? Where's April Jr.?
Okay, you know what? You need to get off the phone and maybe get a shower and think this through.
No, I know what I'm going to do. I know what I'm going to do now. I know what I have to do now. Dorton goes down.
What happened?
I'll call him back if you want.
Dorton goes down. Yeah, call him back. 877-876-PHIL. So there you have the story of one man. Mr. Bozell?
Yes, sir.
You didn't mean that, did you?
No, I just wanted to see if you'd call me back. I'm so lonesome, and I...
Will you get out of here with that guy?
Can I call him back?
He called you back. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And as you know, each and every night here on the Phil Hendry Show, we are always getting ready... Will you turn that off, please? Gives me the creeps.
Sorry.
Each and every night, we are always Johnny on the spot telling about our website, philhenryshow.com, right now with live streaming video of the show as well as podcasts each and every day, as well as our streaming archives, as well as our downloadable archives. Brother, you can't be without your Phil Hendry Show backstage pass. We'll be back in a moment here on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number 877-876-7445. We have Stephen Bozell on the line with us for just a few more minutes as we talk about this video done by himself and his daughter. You had no idea this thing was going to go viral, but it did. His daughter dragging her finger across her throat and saying, Happy Father's Day. You understand how that scares people. It scared you. Okay?
It scared me. It also, I was hopeful at the time that I could somehow get people to see reason. And,
All right, let's take a phone call here. 877-876-7445. Here's Charlie in Memphis. Go ahead, Charlie.
Hi, Bill. I wanted to say to this man that my opinion is he's done a wonderful thing by bringing this up to people.
Please don't say that, sir.
And why shouldn't I say it? I think you've done a wonderful thing.
No, please don't. Don't do that, because Dorton...
No. Yeah. Will you listen to me for a minute? You've been talking about Dorton, and as if you're afraid of a lady like that. Keep breathing in your phone.
Please, what I'm asking you and what I'm begging you, really, is please don't bring her up, because when she hears her name,
oh, my God, listen to this man. I feel...
Please just don't bring up Dorton, because what happens is she thinks I'm getting some momentum. She thinks I've got me a posse, and she's gonna want to go eyeball to eyeball with me. Don't worry about it.
I'll go eyeball to eyeball with her. I don't give a sweet Jesus what she did to you. And I think you should be proud you stood up to your daughter and stood up to your wife as they try to do this. Sisters is doing it for themselves, and it sounds to me like they tried to frighten you into staying in your room. You feel that way, sir?
Well, I certainly at the time.
That's exactly what they did.
Yeah, that's right. They tried to frighten you into staying in your room and staying up there in the room, and you're not allowed to come out.
Well, that's what I felt it was, and I didn't want to test the waters, you know.
You didn't want to test the water? What did you think they was going to do? Your daughter's going to run up, grab you from behind, and slit your throat from ear to ear? Like a Colombian necklace or something?
Yeah, I thought she was going to do O.J. And,
oh, my God, I don't let a little tiny girl like that hurt me at all. It wouldn't bother me at all. And I think that you, the worst thing you could have done is to come on here and cry and whine. And that's why I'm saying to you, you should be very, very proud of what was done on your behalf. You know?
What was done on my behalf?
And what Mr. Henry's doing here.
The fact that I was trying to back you up a little bit, you know. All right, hold the line for just a moment, gentlemen. 877-876-7445. I think your wife is calling in here, Steve. April is calling in. The Phil Henry... Hello?
Gordon?
Oh, my God.
Oh, and everybody hang up?
Yeah.
Oh, you chickens!
Everyone hung up as soon as they heard it was Dorton.
Yeah, they went for the hills on Dorton. They headed for the hills on Dorton, did they? What a bunch of gutless wonders these guys are, man. Well, was that Dorton?
It was either Dorton or is somebody just breathing heavy. Could have been anybody.
Could have been anybody is right. Well, that just goes to show you that in this world we live in, unless you are your own man and you stand up for yourself... And you know what you believe in. You're always going to let people muscle you. It's never going to be any good. And you just can't let that happen. 877-876, Phil, here is David. Yeah, how you doing, David?
That was me, you jackass. That was me.
David, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, it's David G. Hall. That was me breathing into the phone.
Go ahead, David.
Can you hear me?
Bud, is there anybody there?
I don't know. Let me turn it up.
Go ahead, David. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
It's me, David G. Hall. It's me.
Okay, I'm having a hard time hearing the caller. What did you want to say, sir?
That was me breathing in the phone. The last time, that was me.
Can you speak up for a little bit, sir?
What do you mean, speak up? I'm losing my voice. It was me.
Can't hear you, sir. Just try it one more time.
It was me.
Having a very difficult time hearing the caller, but I think he said something along the line. What was he saying?
The Ted Bell's next hour.
That's it. The Ted Bell segment's next hour, sir.
I don't care about Ted Bell. I don't care.
So, pull up the volume on the caller volume, Robert.
Yeah, okay.
So we do have Ted Bell coming up next hour, but again, you have to be your own man. You have to be your own woman. You have to know what it is that you want, know where it is you're going, and know why it is you're going there. And for a guy to get chicken out, man, for a guy to go gutless, for a guy to just, get a big, bright yellow stripe right down the back because his daughter did this video and Dorton is calling up is unbelievable. All right, here's David again. We're going to give it another try. David, how are you doing? What are you yelling for?
What do you mean, what am I? That was me on the phone.
You on the phone? Is this David G. Hall?
Yes.
Well, what are you yelling about?
What do you mean, what am I yelling? I was screaming like a banshee the last time I called in to tell you guys that was me breathing on the phone.
When?
The last call.
The last call that we had.
No, the last call we had, we couldn't hear.
The last call was me that you couldn't hear. But the call before that.
What are you yelling about, man?
I'm trying to tell you idiots that when you had Bozell on, and you had that other guy from Memphis on, you remember that?
Yeah.
And then the guy that called up breathing?
No, that was Dorton.
Yeah, that was Dorton.
No, it wasn't. It was me.
It was you. It said Dorton on the... Did you screen it, Robert?
I screened the call. It was Dorton. She was breathing.
That was me breathing. I was breathing.
Why did you say Dorton?
Because I said I was Dorton.
Oh, you pretended you were Dorton, huh?
Yes.
Oh.
What do you mean, oh?
David, let's be honest, man. Over the last hour, we had a guy calling in here who was really scared to death, given what was going on at his daughter's school. I doubt very, very seriously if that man is going to be put into the pits of fear by you calling up and breathing.
That last hour, I wasn't doing it last hour. Those were tapes.
That's my point. So we're hardly going to believe it was you.
I didn't say last hour. I said it was me, the caller before the last one.
The caller before the last one was that guy from Memphis.
Are you an idiot or something? I said it was me.
Better humor him.
Okay, yes, it was you.
Yeah, yeah, whatever you say, boss, was you.
God, that is obscene.
What? I'm trying to get my breath. You guys are about as stupid as the day is long. I kept telling you.
Humor him.
Yeah, well, you know, that's fantastic.
What is it?
The fact that you called in breathing, that's great.
I don't know. Why is this so much harder than I thought it would be?
No, way to go, boss. I thought that was Dorton for sure.
You thought it was Dorton, huh?
Sure, yeah, we thought it was Dorton.
What about that other guy? What about you, bud?
Yeah, sure.
All right, then.
What a weirdo, man.
That guy, they're the guy who needs a vacation, not you.
David G. Hall, our boss. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Ted Bell joining us. California, the shining city on the hill. Should the Federals bail out California? That's his point of view. We'll hear him coming up here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. From the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Hey, this portion of the Phil Henry Show is brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills. If you want a steak, I mean, if you want the best meat you've ever had that passed between your lips,
here at Ted's,
that's the place.
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
This portion of the Phil Henry Show brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills, and welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. You're invited to participate in the conversation tonight. Ted Bell joining us about a very deadly serious topic, Ted, without any question.
It's very serious for the state, and I think the entire country needs to take it seriously.
That is the $10 billion budget shortfall that the state of California has. Now, we recognize that it's important for California, just as any budget shortfall would be important for any state. But why should the country, for that matter, care about that?
Well, Phil, I think that the United States, the American people, have a vested interest in California in much the same way that we all had a vested interest in New York. We saw what happened in New York on 9/11. It was something that shocked each and every one of us. I don't think it's anything we're ever going to forget about, and certainly will stay with us for the rest of our lives. By the very same token, California is that symbol. Whereas New York is the Big Apple, California is the promised land. Whereas New York is the center of commerce and trade, California is the center of our hopes and our dreams and our futures. Whereas New York is in many ways the embodied history of the United States, California is the embodied future of the United States. Why do I say this? Because, as you mentioned, Bill, and I think it transcends governors, to be honest with you. We have Jerry Brown, who is the governor of this state. I don't particularly like him, but that's not anything that I wanted to come on this program. Jerry Brown is Jerry Brown.
And well, we're not. You don't want to turn this into a political thing, do you?
No, what I'm saying is the state has a $10 billion budget shortfall. The state, there's a difference between, and I don't mean to talk down, I'm sure people do understand what it is I'm trying to say, but there's a difference between what the money is that California has and how much we need. The difference is $10 billion. How can we make this up? Well, we can continue to fire people, and we can continue to...
Let's talk about the illegal alien situation.
All right, hold on for just a minute, okay? That is politically charged, and you don't want to go there. It's politically charged, you don't want to go there.
And if you're asking for the $10 billion, Ted, okay,
yes,
why can't we put everything on the table as to what it is that we need to get rid of?
You don't want chronic, the illegal alien question is filled with lots of pitfalls. There's a lot of mines. There's a lot of traps. There's a lot of potholes. Don't go there. Don't go there. You know how many businesses there are in the state of California that do rely on the illegal alien? If you take them out of here, you might as well take the entire state and flush it down a toilet. And I know that's not what the American people want to do.
Wait, I don't accept that, okay?
Well, I don't care what you accept. I mean,
no, I will not accept that this status here of the millions of illegals that are here that are being paid for, regardless of whether or not they're working, regardless of whether or not they're putting taxes into the system. The fact is, there are social services that go to support people that are not legally in the United States. Now, you're going to have people asking questions like that. If you're asking the American people, which is this what I'm leading, what you're leading up to?
I'm leading up. You just said you're leading up to what?
Are you leading up to the?
I'll tell you. Yes, that's what I'm leading up to. The American people need desperately to begin to see the reality of this situation. We can't afford to refuse to accept the situation.
And why is this the American people in total? Why is that their problem?
Because again, as I told you, America, California is the shining city on the hill. California has been the future of this country for so many years, for so long, and it is a country that must recognize this. We are asking that the American people, through their largesse, through their well-known charity, through their ability to see when there is a problem, yes, we're asking that this shortfall be made up in terms of a federal tax so that California makes its $10 billion and can continue to function well into the future. And
how would this money be acquired?
Well, you're saying that in a very excuse me for saying this, Phil, but I want to just, you're very sober when you say that. I thought you were going to attack me again with the illegal alien thing.
Well, it's not an attack, Ted, but I'm telling you, people are going
No, I know what people are. I'll deal with what people say. I don't think it's a very difficult argument to have with anybody. They're going to say, oh, what about the illegal aliens and how much they cost? You know how you deal with that? You know what you say to people when they say, what about all the illegal aliens in California and how much they cost? Why don't you put a control on that before you ask us for $10 billion? You know how you deal with that?
How?
You say to them, guess what? That's a political hot potato. That is an atomic bomb. Don't go near it. Don't go near it. That's how you deal with that.
And people aren't going to take that for an answer.
Yeah. No, no. Yes, they will take it for an answer because it's a political hot potato. Now, California is facing a budget crisis, and the idea here is to federally tax the income tax returns of Americans till we make up the $10 billion. It could be a set fee, a flat fee, a percentage.
And is this something that we pass by way of law? Is there a referendum? What do you see? How do you propose to go to the American people and say, oh, and by the way, you are going to make up the $10 billion shortfall for the state of California?
You say it the same way. You ask people, would you pay money for the Statue of Liberty to get it fixed? Yes. Would you pay money for the Capitol building? Yes. Would you?
You're putting California.
Hold on for a minute. Would you pay money to fix the Lincoln Memorial? Yes. Would you pay money to fix the Jefferson Memorial? Yes. Would you pay money to fix California? Yes.
And so you're putting California on the same plane as the Lincoln Memorial? And
yes, of course I am. I think that an argument can be made.
What about all the other states that may have a budget shortfall?
Name one.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, most certainly. Name one.
Missouri.
Missouri is not. Boy, you really want to go there, don't you?
You said to name one, okay? Are you going to tell me that California is like the Lincoln Memorial, but Missouri isn't?
No, Missouri is not. Missouri is a great state. But it's no one thinks of Missouri when you think of a state that equals the Washington Monument. No state equals the Washington Monument except a few. California, the state of New York, perhaps. I don't know. It's very Texas.
So you're naming off states that seem to have some currency in the lore of American history.
Well, that's a very fancy way of saying states that were important to the history of this country.
All the states were important to the history of this country. You talk about Missouri, it was central to the history of this country for a great many years.
Yeah, but if you want to go back 150 years, Phil, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to be reasonable, and I'm trying to tell the people that are listening to your broadcast tonight that when they look at the state of California in much the same way that one might look at the state of Texas, if you will, or Alaska, or Yosemite National Park, the Grand Tetons, Mount Rushmore, these are institutions. California is that, and I don't think it's a very high price to pay to know that you live in a country with a California, to come up with the money that we need to make sure that California does not go bust, to make up that $10 billion shortfall. I'm going to tell you something right now. There's one businessman out here in California, Ted, from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Be mighty glad you did. And that's what we're asking.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The proposition here that the American taxpayer, it's not going to happen.
Why do you say that?
Well, you're not going to get people. People are so anti-tax right now that to say to them $10 billion in new taxes for the state of California that you're going to take out of the people, okay? Washington State has a budget shortfall of $5.3 billion. What do you think about we kick in for Washington?
What was the state again?
Washington State.
You know, Phil, with all due respect, if you're trying to get me to insult Washington State,
No, I'm asking you, if California is deserving of the money, why isn't Washington State?
That's not California. I don't think Do I gotta point that out? Washington State is Washington State. What do you think of when you think of Washington State? I think of apples. That's about it.
I think of Seattle. I think of the Space Needle.
No, you don't think of the Space Needle.
Yes, I do, when I think of Washington State.
You think of apples. Apples. That's what you think of. Apples. Big, ripe, the big apples they got. That's what you think of. When you think of California, what do you think of? Movie stars, the film business. You think about without California, there wouldn't have been television. Without California, there was no film business. And quite frankly, Phil, without California, you don't have an agricultural industry.
How do you say that? Okay, that, you could probably make an argument for the other things you said.
I'll tell you how you say that. California showed the rest of the country how to grow stuff right. You know, for the longest time, the United States was we've always been a great country when it came to agriculture. Always a great country when it came to growing things. But we didn't know our ass from a hole in the ground until California, in the San Joaquin Valley, started to grow stuff. And we grew, and the stuff we grow, and the apples and all, everything. You talk about the apples they have in Washington. I don't know anything about agriculture, okay? You've got me at a disadvantage. But I will tell you this. California, as an industry, showed the rest of the world, here's how you grow a crop. Okay, you people have been walking around with your thumbs parked for centuries. Now we're going to show you here, wheat. This is how you see. Look at that. There's a corn on the cob. That's what we did. How do you build a road? California finally said, can we show you how to build a road? Because we've been butchering that job too. How do you build a building? Can we show you how to build a building so it doesn't fall down? Can we show you how to, I mean, you name it, California has taught the world. And what do we get in return? We're insulted. We're told we're drug addicts. We're told we're flakes. We're told we're rapists and murderers and serial murderers. That's what we get. No respect. No one to say thank you, California, for showing the way. Thank you for being the land of milk and honey. Thank you for being the leader when it came to showing the world how to do stuff like take a picture, build a toilet, you name it.
Well, I mean, if it wasn't for California, then human civilization would never have progressed.
I'm not saying that. What I'm trying to say is that many of those innovations came from this state. So the federal government needs to make up that $10 billion shortfall with the tax dollars of the American citizen, with our thanks, with our apologies, but more with our saying, you know, it's about time. Well, I don't want to say that.
Yeah, about time. You know, you're going to get a lot of people just hate California more than they do.
Well, no, I am not.
Yes, you are, by saying it's about time. 877-876-PHIL, Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. This segment sponsored by Ted's of Beverly Hills, a great steakhouse in Beverly Hills. And we're talking about California's $10 billion budget shortfall. How do we make it up? In the mind of Ted and others, a federal tax. That means you, Mr. and Mrs. Taxpayer, you make it up, because California has been, for so long, the leader, the trendsetter, the industrial leader, the agricultural leader, the commercial leader, for a very, very long time. It is a symbol of this country, not unlike the Lincoln Memorial. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with more here. Ted Bell wanting non-California residents to be taxed to fix the state's budget problem. What do you think about his idea? Would you ever allow a portion of your paycheck to fix California? 877-877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
And this portion of the Phil Henry Show brought to you by Ted of Beverly Hills. And this quarter hour, we're going to talk about the 50 states and why America really needs to help California make up that budget shortfall.
Ted Bell with us here. Now, you wanted to do what?
What I wanted to do is something, a little something different. I've got a list of the 50 states. And when you think of California, and what are we talking about this hour in the Phil Henry Show here with Ted Bell? What we're talking about really, Phil, is the fact that California, in all of the many ways that California does business, in the many ways that California enjoys itself, we represent the very finest, the very furthest, the very highest of achievement. If California is to survive, America really needs to help out.
And well, there's no real, I don't see, I do see precedent, obviously. There's been a stimulus that's helped out business.
Well, what about when that guy Koch went to, the aide Koch went to the federal government and asked money for New York, and they told him to drop dead and blow away? That was the worst. And I think America can make it up now. For a state like California to go begging, while the rest of these states talk about how solvent they are, well, of course you're solvent. You've got three people. You know, they don't, it just, it doesn't make any sense. We've got more people than any other state in this country. And, you know, and we've given people more fun. The things we've done and the fact that we have to beg.
Well, California, there's nothing in the Constitution that says people are supposed to donate money to California.
What I'm saying is, no, there's nothing in the, I know there's nothing in the Constitution.
All right, so, but you're talking about how California's got to beg. I mean, no, they don't. They can simply do business so they make up the $10 billion.
Oh, simply do business to make up the $10 billion. How do you do that, okay?
Well, one of the things that's going on that I absolutely agree with, they are not going to pay the California legislators until they come up with a balanced budget.
They're exactly. They're going to, those people are going to go home starving to death. That is not a way to do business.
Yes, it is. You tell those people, that's why we elected you, balance that budget.
No, they can't. And if they can't, then what?
Then you don't pay them.
And then they don't get paid, and then their families don't eat, and now you have, you've got dead bodies in a house in Sacramento. Do you want that?
What are you talking about?
Did you just say they're not going to pay the California legislators?
Yeah.
You've got dead, rotting bodies in Sacramento. That's what you want. That's what everybody in America...
What dead, rotting bodies?
The California legislators that...
Oh, come on, man. Some of these people get... Come on.
Oh, come on, man. You know, Phil, don't bite off more than you can... Well, I won't say. But
you know, no, Ted, I'll tell you what. Don't you bite off more than you can chew. You're talking about the California legislators took a job. If they can't balance that budget, you can't go to the rest of the country and say, hey, we're so sorry, we can't balance our budget.
Did you say balance? What is that, balance?
Balance the budget. Can you help us with that so that, A, we balance our budget, and, B, our California legislators don't have to stop being paid? And to say that because they don't get paid, they'll be dead, rotting bodies.
Did you hear the... Apparently, you don't stay close to the news. Did you hear about Casey Anthony? You know that.
Where are we going now?
I'm asking... I'm the sponsor this hour. Would you humor me, Phil? Did you hear about Casey Anthony?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
Well, you know they could smell a dead body in the car. You know that?
Yeah.
Is that what you want to smell in Sacramento?
You're not going to have that kind of disaster on your hands if you don't pay the California state legislators their money. You're not going to have dead, rotting bodies.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you, Dr. Hildon. Hey. Thank you, Quincy. You know, for all of the stuff that I...
You're not going to... Ted, don't be an ass, all right?
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, those of you that are listening right now, you're a witness. You're a witness. The man whose show I sponsor just called me an ass.
Don't be an ass coming up with asinine scenarios about what's going to happen to people if they don't get paid. You know, a lot of people don't get paid. Go on unemployment. How about that?
Unemployment doesn't pay for tap water. You know it and I know it. All I'm saying is let's have some respect for our legislators. It's a tough job. We need help from the country. We demand help from the country.
You demand tax dollars from the American people.
That's exact. You know what? You've got Hollywood Boulevard. Put it on the screen. Do it.
Excuse me?
I told you to do it. Now do it.
Do what?
You've got a video cast going, right?
Yeah.
And there's Hollywood Boulevard?
Yeah.
Put it on the screen. I told you to put it on the screen.
No, I'm not taking orders from you just because you sponsor an hour. Now you're going to have to ask me nice.
What?
Ask me nice. I want you to stand there in that gay white suit you're wearing tonight and ask me nice.
Will you please put Hollywood Boulevard on your screen?
There it is.
All right, there. You see that dead, dead city? You see how dead that is? That's Hollywood. That's Hollywood, California. That is where dreams are made. You look at how dead that... Oh, you got it on pause.
I do. As a matter of fact, excuse me. Let me just... I apologize. I did have it on pause. And, it should be back to normal now.
You made me look like an ass?
I didn't know...
Well, right in the middle of the screen, it said click to play. What a...
We'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL. And we also want to get your input on whether or not the United States, the taxpayers of the United States, should bail out California $10 billion budget shortfall. Ted Bell will be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.
You made me look like an ass.
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Hey, come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. You know, tonight on the Phil Hendry Show, we're going to take a look at all 50 states and tell you what they have to offer as opposed to California. Let's see if we can get some money made.
Here at Ted's,
in Beverly Hills.
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
All right, we're going to run down that list, but Ted, you were saying to me that California, we were looking at a picture of Hollywood, and there's nobody there, so therefore what?
The economy is bad. California has driven tourism for just many, many years. Now, what do we look at when we see the streets of Hollywood? To quote that character in Malcolm X, dead, dead, dead. You is dead. Remember that when he said you is dead?
And yeah, I remember that. I don't know that it necessarily pertains here.
It's a quote from a movie, Bill. I'm not trying to make any comment racial.
I understand.
I'm simply saying that the United States, the American taxpayer, for all that they have sucked out of the state of California... Like babies sucking out of a bottle. I mean, if you look at California and you look at the rest of the United States, the American taxpayers, we're all a bunch of babies sucking at the nipple of California. Just the rest of the states are one big fat, really fat baby, overweight baby, and California is a bottle of never-ending milk. And there is the baby laying on its back, the big fat slob of a baby. That
what baby is a slob?
Well, no baby is a slob, unless that baby are the other 49 states. And that is one fat... Have you ever seen... I don't know if you've ever been online, but you can go and enter in fat baby in Google and hit images, and you see these children with the big, thick arms, and they've got a big bowl of slop. I don't know who feeds them. But
whatever it is you're talking about, you know, I think you've made your point.
Well, the point is that California's the milk bottle.
Yeah, and the other 49 states are a big fat slob of a baby sucking off of it.
Yes. God.
877-876-PHIL. We will roll down that list of states from Ted here in just a moment. Let's get to some phone calls here tonight. Travis, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show, Travis.
I just want to comment on the fact that I just don't think it's right that any other state should have to pay for one state's debt. You know, California is not the only state in debt, and let alone, you know, the people. Everybody's going through a hard time in the economy right now, and I just really don't think that would be right.
What's wrong, Ted?
I knew I'd get a call like this. With all due respect to the gentleman, I understand what you're saying, sir, but I've tried to make the point here over the last few minutes that California's not just any other state.
Right.
California.
Not just the leading state either. And you did make the comment a few minutes ago about you have the most people than any other state.
Well, yes, sir.
Okay, I mean, it's just, if you have the most people than any other state, then why can't the most people of any other state donate $2, $5, $10, whatever the case may be, and pull it out of, you know, your debt? And, you know, I don't know how
pull it out of my what?
May not pull out of the debt. Ain't we talking about debt here?
Yes, sir, I know, but we're talking $10 billion, and what we were saying here, just like the stimulus, just like the monies that, you know, that go federally, we were hoping the people of the United States would some sort of a tax would, and then that way you pay for it. And I know what you're saying. You're saying it's not fair. I got you. But I'm countering by saying that California is sort of like the Lincoln Memorial.
Well, you know, may I jump in?
Yeah.
What's that?
Let me jump in here, gentlemen. To say that California is like the Lincoln Memorial, that's all of a sudden saying that it's not an equal partner in this union. I mean, it's not. Every state in the union is an equal partner.
Oh, by rear end. You know that we put more money. California puts more money in.
No. Hold on for a minute. Every American is paying taxes at the rate that he is federally charged. Every American pays taxes at the rate that that they pay taxes. So to say that California somehow is more entitled to federal relief when Washington has a $5.3 billion shortfall.
Okay, perfect. I'm glad you brought that up. Let me ask this gentleman, Travis. When you think of Washington State, Travis, what do you think of?
Cold and wet.
There you go. Cold and wet. You going to put $5 billion into that? Not me. No, thank you.
What are you talking about, man?
I'm not putting $5.3 billion into something that's like the inside of someone's you-know-what. That's what this gentleman just said.
The inside of someone's you-know-what?
Yes, cold and wet. So what I would rather do...
All right, look, Travis, thank you very much for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL is the number here. 877-876-7445. You going to do this list of states?
Hold on. I wasn't even done talking, and you... Did you hang up on the caller?
I had to move on, yeah.
Well, the gentleman said cold and wet, and he was on... When he said that, I was about to... he was going to be my ally in attacking your stand, which is that Washington State is somehow equally entitled to tax dollars. He said cold and wet, and that reminded me of, like, the inside of someone's... Well, I can't say it.
Okay, and what?
Oh, boy. What's better? What's better? All right, what's better? I'm going to have to say this right. A masculine, muscular, you-know-what, or something wet and damp?
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to David. Hi, David. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell as we talk about the California budget shortfall and how the rest of the country is supposed to make up for that. Go ahead, sir.
How you doing, guys?
Yes, sir. Good.
How are you?
I'm a truck driver out of Cincinnati. And
yes, sir.
I don't have a problem with paying my tax dollars. I make a really, really good living. And you know what? I understand California is in a deficit. But you know what? So
right.
Are the other 50 states, you know?
Uh-huh.
And we need to worry. I don't have a problem with taking tax dollars to help other states. But it needs to be a state that's in a state of emergency. What about the people in Joplin? They lost, what, 150, 155 people? Joplin, Missouri.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point.
That's a tough call. But what have they given the rest of the country? And what I was going to do, David, well, you know, you can say that Mississippi's had a hard time. You can say that Missouri has. And they have. And they deserve help. But I'm talking about something more than emergency dollars. I'm talking about actual helping with the budget windfall, the shortfall, because Missouri at the end of the day and Mississippi at the end of the day haven't really done for the country what California has had. Let's talk about it. California, here I come, right back where I started from. You know that song?
Okay, I understand that.
Okay, you know that song. Okay, now listen to this. Here we go. Alabama, and I actually had some music I wanted to play because I think it's, here we go. Alabama, all right? Now, when you talk about Alabama, Dave, what do you think of? You got it, rednecks. Alaska, what do you think of? Eskimos. Arizona, old people, meth addicts. Arkansas. You go all the way down the line. Then you come to California, what do you think of? Beautiful oceans, hot-looking women. Okay. Then we go to Colorado, pot. Connecticut, old people. Delaware, even older people. Florida, death. Georgia.
All right, we got the point.
Right.
We got the point.
I understand all of that.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Every state has its ups and downs. But you need, you know, the people in the United States, we do need to pull together and we do need to help each other. But we need to take care of states that are in a state of emergency.
I agree with that.
Taxpayers can't pay enough taxes to support the deficit. Every state has a deficit. But we need to take care of the states that are in a state of emergency, not
when you think of
overspending.
Let's talk about this. When you think of the state of, let's talk about, okay, Washington. What do you think of when you think of Washington?
Oh, will you come on already?
No, I'm asking the guy. What do you think of when you think of Washington, sir?
Off the top of my head, it's a nice place to visit, and they do have good apples. I wouldn't want to live there. But
thank you. There you go. I wouldn't want to live there. That's all I needed to hear. I wouldn't want to live there. Why would I want to pay for it, right? Now, when we talk about California,
Ohio's my
home.
That's my stomping ground.
Okay. Now, when the first thing you think, okay, I won't ask Dave, Bill, what do you think of when you think of Ohio?
Oh, come on, will you?
What do you think of when you think of Ohio?
I think of the Cincinnati Reds.
What?
Well, did you ask me a question?
The Cincinnati Reds.
Did you ask me a question or did you not?
Yes.
The Cincinnati Reds. Well, what do you think of?
Buckeyes.
What is a Buckeye?
I don't know.
Okay, anyway, Dave. What is a Buckeye, Dave?
He doesn't know. You don't know what it is. You'll bet it's a nut.
All right, thanks very much for your call. 877. Thank you, David, and safe travels. 877-876-7445. Here is Bill in Bakersfield. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, sir. Thank you.
My thing is this. I'm living in California. We don't need any other state to bail us out. We need to fix our own problem. Fix the illegal immigration problem here in the state of California, and it will fix itself.
You can't go near that.
There's the guy just said, illegal immigration.
I told you, the political hot potato.
27% of our inmate population are illegal aliens at a cost of $52,000 per year per inmate, and that's provided if they don't get sick.
Our enemy population. What does he mean?
Inmate.
No. You got it all wrong.
No, I don't have it all wrong. I just spent 25 years in the prison system. I know exactly what I'm talking about.
Were you a prisoner?
Pardon me?
Were you a prisoner?
No, I was not a prisoner.
Well, I mean, he's...
Maybe he worked for the...
Okay. I'm sorry. I apologize. You were a corrections officer, correct?
Yes, I was. Lieutenant.
Was he a prisoner?
I didn't know.
All right, and you saw a lot but of course, as a corrections officer, you don't really know who's legal or who's illegal, Bill, do you?
Yes, we do.
We do?
Yes.
Well, you can't go near it, Bill. It's a political hot potato. It's just, you don't want to go near that. If you go near that, it's like going near a bad smell. It's just going to be all over you. Don't go near that. Let's talk about how California deserves the money over a place like Vermont.
See,
what's Vermont got?
That's the problem we have. Our politicians are scared right now. Well, let's not touch that. We may not get reelected. You know what? Get a politician up here that has something that they can contribute. Don't be scared.
Well,
don't be scared that you're going to make the other party scared. or mad?
It's not fear. It's not fear. It's simply saying when a guy says illegal alien, the first thing you think of is don't go near it. Don't go near it.
Well, we've got to start to go near these questions.
Don't go near it.
No, we got to start.
You can't go near it.
Several years ago when we passed Proposition 187 and all that.
Oh, no one knows what that is.
Anybody in the California that's here illegally is not entitled to benefit. That's the only thing that said. They turned it into a big
racial thing. No one knows what that is.
That was the original referendum that beat Arizona, you know, but there were some constitutional issues with that. Anyway, thank you very much, Bill, for your call. World famous Phil Henry Show here. And
oh, so you disagree with the guy, constitutional issues, and then you get rid of his phone call. Anyway, thanks a lot.
I have to move on, okay?
Yeah, but you were disagreeing with him there.
Yeah, I was, but frankly, the disagreement came up at a time where we do have to move on.
All right, I wanted to finish up here, Phil, just very, very quickly for the people that did not hear what we were doing. And what we're talking about here, let me just have Bud Dickman, or what's his name, Dickman. Start it again, and let's thank you. Here we go. The 50 states, the United States of America. Let's run down the 50 states. Alabama, what do you think of? Rednecks. Alaska, what do you think of? Rednecks and Eskimos. Arizona, what do you think of? Rednecks and meth addicts.
All right, come on. We got to get going, all right?
I beg your pardon? Turn the music off. What did you say to me?
I said we got to get going. Sorry, but we do. I got to take a break.
Yeah, fine.
877, now I feel bad. 877-876-PHIL.
No, 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 it's okay.
877-876-7445. We'll be back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
What a putt.
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. Tonight we're open until 1 a.m. We serve until, well, we stop serving. But we are open until 1 a.m. That's another 2.5 hours. So you can come in and drink.
Here at Ted's.
Which, of course, we would rather you not drink and drive, but I know how it is.
Now, what kind of a commercial is that?
Excuse me, I'm the sponsor. Oh, boy. I'm the sponsor.
I understand. I'm sorry.
Would you mind? All right, back it up, please. Play it again.
Wait. I'll tell him to play it again.
Well, I'm not going to have you say something like that.
Ted, you said, come on in and drink, which, of course, I don't want you to drink and drive, but I know how it is.
Oh, my God, and then you repeat it? Play it again.
All right, Bud, go ahead, play it again. He's deserving of another... Sorry.
Right away, Mr. Bell.
Thank you.
Ted of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
I don't know what Phil Henry thought he was playing at, but no, you don't do that to me, Ted Bell. Come on in. We've stopped serving. We're serving booze till 1. Don't drink and drive.
Here at 10.
God.
I apologize.
Just don't, you don't have to second guess what I'm saying. All right. Here on the world famous Phil Henry Show, I'm Ted Bell. I'm sponsoring the final segment of this. And I'm going to try and get my money's worth out of this because for the last, I don't know what you'd call it, 52 minutes, Henry and his listeners have tried to hold me down over the hood of a car outside of town.
Whoa, man.
Well, you're telling me that you haven't?
We've given you a fair hearing.
All right, hit it, bud. This is Foxy, one of the very first gay disco bands.
Uh-huh.
I just thought I'd say that. And what we want to do is run through the 50 states, all 50 states, and why California's got it all over them. All right, where were we? Alabama, rednecks. Alaska, Eskimos and weed. Actually, Eskimos and alcoholics. Arizona, meth addicts and old people. Arkansas, the Clintons. Did you get that, Phil, the Clintons?
Yeah, that's great.
Colorado, dope, hippies, the Rocky Mountains, that's Connecticut, I don't know, Delaware, I don't know what happens in Delaware, but I know that some guy dumped a woman off the, some kind of a murder was committed there. Florida, lots of murders. Georgia, chain gangs. Hawaii, dope and rainbows. Idaho, potatoes and dope. boy, Lincoln. Big wow. I mean, Lincoln's a great guy. Indiana, the Hoosiers, Larry Bird, you get it. Iowa, hurricanes, tornadoes, a farm, another tornado, another farm, another tornado. Kansas, Dorothy. Kentucky, Colonel. Fried chicken. Louisiana, or Louisiana. Two words. Hurricane Katrina. Then we have Maryland. Baltimore. Massachusetts. Baltimore. Michigan. Detroit. Minnesota. Not much, but Lakes and Ludifus. Or Ludicrous. Mississippi, chain gangs. Missouri, chain gangs. Montana. Cold chain gang. Nebraska.
All right, I get the idea. God, I get the idea, man.
Well, you understand what I'm saying.
What I hear from you is just a very quick and smart-ass dismissal of all of the states. Michigan, Detroit.
You call that any bargain?
And what is lutefisk?
Now, what's that stuff they eat in Minnesota, the fish?
I don't know. Fish.
No. That crap. That Norwegian crap they eat. Anyway, North Dakota, Ohio, Buckeyes. I asked the guy, what is it? He said it's a nut. And they say...
Standing, people are not going to devote tax dollars to just one state, Ted. It's not going to happen.
Okay, Father Henry. Thank you. Thank you for blowing off the hopes of a lot of people tonight. The state of California has spent an awful lot to a lot of people, Phil. And I wish at this particular point you had some music that was fitting, because I want to do a tribute. I want to do a tribute to a great state. A state that at one time might have been something. A state that at one time might have been much more than something. It might have been anything. Much more than anything. It might have been the thing. What is this, the Atlantis theme?
What the hell you want from it?
God almighty. Anyway, California is a place that I think a lot of dreams come to and die here. But at least, anyway.
All right, well, Ted, thank you very much. I think you did all that you could to destroy your idea.
I didn't destroy anything, my fine feathered friend.
Look, do we have time for this call? Let's see. Let's go over here to Richard. Go ahead, Richard. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
I want to ask why, if California created the problem that they're in right now by electing officials that didn't care anything about spending money, if it was me and I couldn't pay my bill, would someone come balance my checkbook so that I could have money to pay my bills? I don't think
so. If you were cool enough, that's what we're saying. If we liked you.
You said Connecticut was old people. I'm afraid
yes.
to tell you that I am from Connecticut. I am a truck driver trying to make a living out of
it. That's a strike against you, then. I wouldn't want to pay for you, then. I'm sorry.
I thought
he said he was cool, but you're obviously not cool enough.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
World famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, and we take you places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, so they won't, and they don't, and they shan't. Anyway, welcome to our program here, and we're here weeknights. On Saturday nights, we have our... KFI show. If you'd like to join us over there, you can. But right now we have, of course, live streaming video on philhenryshow.com, so check it out, as well as the archives, as well as just any number of great things, our rants, our archived material going back some 15 years, and, of course, our classic Phil podcast as well. It's all over there at philhenryshow.com. This hour, Roger Ebert takes some heat for his tweets about Ryan Dunn. Roger Ebert. And a mom threatens a Little League official after her son didn't make a team. Plus, we'll give you yet another reason to avoid public pools. PhilHenryShow.com, the podcast, the HDTV, etc., as well as our coffee mugs. Sorry, we got that.
Get the plug in for the shop. You gotta say the coffee mug.
I just said coffee mugs. Robert Leonard is with us. Bud Dickman as well. So let's talk about Roger Ebert and the Ryan Dunn tweet. Now, as you know, on this program, we've made some comments. I had a problem with Roger Ebert when he said that, you know, he'd had his jaw removed or some portion of his, the lower portion of his face, and as a result, it created quite a startling image of Roger Ebert. And I found I had a problem with that. And the reason why I had a problem with that was that he said, I think people are just going to have to get used to the way I look. I understand that. I understand that there's a certain, I think there's a, it's a, there's a certain heroism to that stance. You know, there's a certain individual integrity to that stance. But when you're somebody who is out in the world as much as Roger Ebert, and you have the resources to surgically and medically help yourself in that sense, surgically and medically, you know, restructure your face, then I thought he, you know, he sort of almost owed it to people. Rather than to say, I look like I'm sucking on lemons morning, noon, and night, and that's just the way you're going to have to you know, deal with it, right? So, some of us, and one of them, Opie and the morning show, Opie and Anthony in New York, they had some really funny stuff to say on Twitter, you know, decided, okay, if that's the way you want to look, Roger, if you want to go through life looking like you're sucking on a flavor straw morning, noon, and night, then guess what? People get to make fun of you. So Roger Ebert derided for insensitive tweets shortly after Ryan Dunn's death. Now, why the hell would you make yourself a target? He's defending himself after a controversial Twitter post about Jackass star Ryan Dunn's death. Dunn and his 30-year-old passenger Zachary Hartwell were killed in a fiery crash in Pennsylvania early Monday. Police say Dunn's Porsche careened off the road, flipped over a guardrail, and burst into flames in a wooded area. Shortly after news of Dunn's death began to circulate, Ebert tweeted, "Friends don't let jackasses drink and drive." Now, here's why that comment was not the most well thought out. If you agree, and if you're a Roger Ebert, you got to know this. If you agree that there are certain personalities that are important to certain generations, then you would know that you're going to be offending the sensibilities of certain people in certain generations. For instance, Princess Diana, like last night when we had on R.C. Collins, and he's going on about how Ryan Dunn dying was as bad as Princess Diana, right?
Yeah, he thought that was really significant.
Right. Well, that was a perfect way of saying, you know, regardless of what you think about Ryan Dunn, regardless of what you think about Jackass, there's some people that liked the guy and felt a great sadness with his passing. He was, after all, a sort of modern comic. I don't know what kind of comic you'd call it. I think a lady last night brought up the Three Stooges. Shortly before the crash, Dunn reportedly posted pictures of himself and friends drinking at an area bar. Dunn and his passenger died from the impact of the violent car crash and the resulting fire, according to a coroner's report. Toxicology results will take 4 to 6 weeks. Ebert's post prompted angry responses from Jackass fans, and celebrity blogger Perez Hilton voiced his concern at the timing of the tweet. And what we're talking about, I'll give you a better example.
I was thinking about Heath Ledger.
That's a good example. Heath Ledger and who was the guy?
John Gibson.
John Gibson. John Gibson lost his job when he was on and he was talking about Heath Ledger, and I forget what it was that he said, but it was something kind of insensitive. I don't know if Jason remembers or not, but John Gibson on Fox Radio said that, what's the big deal with Heath Ledger? Some drug addict, something like that.
Yeah.
All right. He may be a drug addict. And Ryan Dunn may be something else. And Princess Diana may be something else. And John Wayne, who we brought up on the show last night, he might be something else too. But all of those people that I just mentioned have significance to different generations. John Wayne was big to an older generation. If I said to you, as we said last night, John Wayne died in a diaper, and people are big fans of John Wayne, they'd be pissed off.
Yeah, but you did say that.
I didn't say that. The guest said that. R.C. Collins said that.
Well,
R.C. Collins said that John Wayne, and in so saying that, he showed that he was completely insensitive to a generation of people while he was asking for sensitivity for himself. Completely insensitive. Did you like John Wayne? Did you think that John Wayne was a smart man for smoking cigarettes as much as he did to the point where he had lung cancer? Do you think John Wayne had a drinking problem? What kind of guy did you think John Wayne was? Well, you can have all kinds of opinions, but be sensitive when a guy like John Wayne dies to the feelings of people who really admired the guy, liked his movies, and were really sad that he died. That's all. It's just, it's called common freaking courtesy.
What about Hitler? There are a lot of people like that.
Hitler's a different story. Why would you bring up Hitler, man?
Well, yeah, but he's right.
Hitler's a different story. Hitler was a... That's not just a guy passing on. Hitler wasn't just some guy who died and, oh, you know, isn't that terrible? Some people are really feeling bad about Hitler going. Hitler was the cause of a world war. People couldn't wait for that guy to die. People were actively trying to kill that guy. Hitler.
Yeah, but there's still sensitivities.
What do you mean sensitivities?
What about the people that, if Hitler died, it'd be some people said, today Hitler died, and we want to make an announcement about Hitler died. And people are, wow, that's a drag.
Who's going to say, wow, that's a drag?
That other Nazis, there's some Nazis in a prisoner of war camp and go, wow, I didn't know that Hitler died and everything.
Well, you ain't going to be sensitive to that, man. It's a whole different story. Boy, every time we get into a discussion, here comes Hitler.
Yeah, thank goodness, too, because Hitler will clear up a lot of problems.
Hitler will clear up a lot of problems. All that bringing that guy up, all that does is confuse the issue. Hitler was he was a guy that everybody and his brother wanted dead, other than the Nazis sitting in the cage that Bud was talking about. And the cause of a world war, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just these benign personalities, entertainment personalities, most of them.
Not Princess Diana.
Princess Diana, yeah, Princess Diana.
How do you call her entertainment?
Because I think she was.
No, she wasn't. She was the royalty and everything.
What do you think royalty is, man, but entertainment? That's all it is. Yes, I know they're the symbol of the country. I have great appreciation for that. Yada, yada, yada.
I got the thing here on John Gibson. Won't see it?
Yeah, let me see it. All right, this is what got John Gibson fired. He called Ledger a weirdo with a drug problem, then made a I can't quit you, broke back mountain joke. Then saying he killed himself after witnessing a bad John Edwards debate performance in the week's previous debate. All of those things validly funny in a different context, maybe a different time or place, but not the day after the guy died. To John Gibson, the death of Heath Ledger didn't mean anything because he could care about Heath Ledger. He also said, I can't quit you. Well, I found out how to quit you. Yikes.
I don't get it.
Dying?
Died.
Oh.
So to John Gibson, Heath Ledger doesn't mean diddly squat. So he makes a joke. And maybe in John Gibson's circle of friends, that's cool. But the day after the guy died, there's a whole bunch of fans, they got really pissed off. And they called in, and they said Gibson's a jackass. I don't know if he got fired, but he definitely got taken to task for it. Okay? And so it goes, man. And you can have the death of Princess Diana. People made jokes about that. Then everybody got on their case. Why? Timing. The timing of it. A lot of people were bummed out about Princess Diana. I remember after Elvis Presley died, I'll never forget, I made the mistake of making a joke about it to some redneck. This guy was probably about 10 years older than me. So at the time that Elvis Presley died, let me see. God, how old was that man? He was 41. So I was like 20, I don't know, 26?
Yeah.
And I made some joke about Elvis dying, and this dude just looked like freaking right through me, man. Like he was going to, you know, kill me or something. So he died in 77. So I was 25 years old. I'm making this joke, and the guy's all like, you know, man, you don't do that. So that's the way it is. And now comes Ryan Dunn. What do you think of Ryan Dunn? Some people like him, some people don't, some people think he's an idiot. But you got to understand, especially if you're a Roger Ebert, a guy that works in the media and a guy that should be media savvy enough to the feelings, the feedback that he gets from people, that if you make a joke about someone who is beloved or has a big fan base, you're going to get a lot of heat, man. And if he doesn't want to back off of this, he doesn't have to. It may not even cost him his job, and I don't think it should cost him his job, but from now on, he's going to be an ass to a lot of people.
It's going to be an ass jacket.
An ass jacket. There you go. Roger Ebert. He was unapologetic when he attempted to clarify the comments, tweeting, Perez Hilton's readers agree with me and not with Perez about my tweet on Ryan Dunn. He drank, he drove, two people die. Fellow Jackass star Bam Margera took to Twitter and posted a profanity-laced message to Ebert. I just lost my best friend. I've been crying hysterical for a full day, and a piece of S, Roger Ebert, has the gall to put in his 2 cents. About a jackass drunk driving and Dunn is one. F you. Millions of people are crying right now. Shut your F, your fat effing mouth. On Tuesday, the film critic responded in a blog post saying, I offer my sympathy to Ryan Dunn's family and friends and to those of Zachary Hartwell, who also died in the crash. I mean that sincerely. It is tragic to lose a loved one. I also regret that my tweet about the event was considered cruel. It was not intended as cruel. It was intended as true. Ebert says he only used the word jackasses in his tweet because of Dunn's association with Jackass. Ebert says his Facebook page was deleted because of the fallout. He tweeted, Facebook has removed my page in response, apparently, to malicious complaints over one or two jerks. His page has since been reinstated. Ebert, who lost his voice and lower jaw to cancer, says he was probably too quick to tweet when he posted his initial message. There you go. But he says the outcome could have been even worse. I do know that nobody has any business driving on a public highway at 110 miles an hour, as some estimated, or fast enough. You know, we get it, man. You know, but there's other ways of saying it.
Like what, man? I mean, you know, how could he have said that different?
He could have said, you know, this is a tragedy that that young man died. It's a tragedy that such a talented young guy or a funny guy or just a lover of life, just a crazy ass, had to be crazy enough to be driving 110 miles an hour. Man, I wish you wouldn't have gone that fast. Look at what happens when you go fast. There's a lot of ways of saying it, and you don't come off sounding like a slob. All right, coming back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, a mom threatens a Little League official and his family, after her son didn't make a team. PhilHenryShow.com as well for our live streaming video, as well as our archives. We'll be right back.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Well, you like Ryan Dunn, right?
Yeah.
All right, so you understand what I'm saying.
Well, I believe in freedom of speech.
Of course we believe in freedom of speech, bud. I'm not saying that Roger Ebert should get fired.
Well, what would you, if you were his boss, would you fire him?
Roger Ebert? Hell no, man. The guy's got all kinds of... The guy's got currency. He's been around a long time. He's known. The name is known. You know? I mean, you know, you don't fire a guy like that. He's probably bringing a lot of money into that newspaper. He probably still brings a lot of money in for the people who have him in their newspaper. No. No, I wouldn't fire him for that. But I would say to him, hey, pal, see what you get for opening your, if you'll pardon the expression, for opening your plastic mouth?
Only the lower part's plastic. The upper part's real.
What is?
His jaw, man. He's got like a fake jaw he installs.
How often does he put it in?
I don't know. He has a fake jaw. Anyway, I thought it was very funny, some of the tweets I saw today about Roger Ebert hates flavor straws. Now then.
That's pretty funny.
Thank you, bud. New York Little League mother arrested for alleged threats because son sucks at baseball. Dateline East Meadows, New York, from ABC News. Keeping kids busy in the summer is paramount for many parents, although not enough to land most of them in jail. But that's where Janet Chazui, is that her name?
Chazazu,
44, and a PTA mom found herself after allegedly threatening a Little League official when her son didn't make the summer travel team in East Meadow, New York. This is a tragic situation and horrible for the community, said Stu McKay, one of the presidents of the East Meadow Little League on Long Island. When you deal with children and parents running things, it gets dicey. Her name is... Chazu. Here is her attorney, Janet Chazu's attorney, Peter Von Giorno. He says he is shocked. Shocked, he says. Chiuzi. Oh, Chiuzi. Thanks very much, Jace. Chiuzi. Here is Peter Von Gino. I'm just kidding. Peter Von Giorno says he's shocked at these allegations.
She's a PTA mom. Dad's been involved in coaching and volunteering for many years in a variety of different capacities. And so the allegations are shocking, to say the least.
Okay. In any event, Nassau County Police allege that an unidentified league official and his son received threatening letters from Chiuzi on May 21st after her son did not make the team. In the letters, according to the allegations, Chiuzi also threatened violence against the official's wife and daughter.
That's what, he slipped the mafia or something?
I don't know. That's pretty slob-like a behavior.
I think it's not like an Italian thing.
What do you mean an Italian thing?
I think that's they all, you know...
Yeah, I'm going to put, you know, like, the evil eye on you and a curse to you and stuff like that.
Oh, get out of here. Anyway, in the letters, according to the allegations, Chiuzi also threatened violence against the guy's wife and daughter. In one letter written to the official's young son, Chiuzi wrote, "If something happens to your dad or mom or your sister, you can blame your dad for not taking these threats seriously." Wow! In another letter written directly to the Little League official, "I know where your wife works, I know where your daughter goes to school, and your son's normal everyday routine. Just tell your wife and kids to watch themselves, especially at night. I don't care what it takes, I'm going to make your life and your family's life a living hell. These are not just words and empty threats," she allegedly wrote. What mental institution is close enough to the house whereby they could put her in a soft room and still get visitors, you know, on the weekend?
I don't know, man, but... sound like probably put her in some kind of a mental institution. She sounded crazy.
Less than 2 weeks later, police said the principal of the children's school received letters from Chiuzi claiming that the Little League official had molested his children. What is wrong with some people? The Nassau County Child Protective Services investigated the accusation, found them to be groundless. Chiuzi didn't stop there. Authorities said she allegedly sent 6 more letters to the Little League attempting to defame the victim and force his removal as an official. Chiuzi was finally arrested Saturday night. When did this take place, all of this stuff? May 21st. So that's only a little over a month, I guess.
Too long, man, if you ask me.
She has been charged with 4 counts of stalking, 2 counts of falsely reporting an incident, 2 counts of endangering the welfare of a child, and 4 counts of aggravated harassment. Chiuzi was arraigned Sunday and later released from jail on a $6,000 bail. According to the Nassau County Correctional Center, she could not be reached for comment. Vinny Cafiso, who was on the Little League board for 7 years before pulling out when his son no longer wanted to play, said, "It used to be a great program, but the executive board is trying to run it as a business instead of a volunteer program. It's about personal satisfaction and power. There are kids that have been on the travel team forever and aren't anymore because a bunch of new kids are on the team. It has nothing to do with the kids. It's more about the parents." I don't know what that's supposed to mean. Doesn't sound like it means anything. Chiuzi is expected to appear in court on Wednesday. Well, I don't know. I just don't know what it is. I just, you know, kids are not worth it, man. It's not worth having kids, you know.
Well, if you're going to act like that.
If you're going to behave like that, that there's no point in you having children. There was no reason in the first place for you to have children. You have no control over yourself. You obviously don't have any kind of intention to treat the child well. See... children, family, it's all the same thing. It's a unit that you form to protect yourself, to ensure security. Yes, you fall in love. I get it about that. But the origination of the family is for another layer of protection. And some people take that quite literally. I mean, they pretend like their family is the last bastion of freedom in the world, and all the outsiders are bad. Everybody out there is bad, and our family's good. And that's how they act, and some of them take it to the nth degree. All right, well, we can only hope, ladies and gentlemen, that woman is thrown into a dungeon where she rots. All right.
Great, Mr. Henry.
Thank you. All right, coming back, we'll give you yet another reason to avoid public pools, plus even the Amish are sexting perverts. The Phil Henry Show, that's philhenryshow.com for our HDTV, our podcasts, and, of course, the Phil Henry Shop for our T-shirt, our shot glass, and our great best-of CDs. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. For patriots. Bye, Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
This is very interesting, and welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Research shows most kids don't shower before using pools.
Boy, I love you in a public pool when I was a kid.
I liked the public pool when I was a kid, too. But you understand, bud, that when we were kids, well, let's go ahead and say it. You peed in the pool, right?
Yeah.
Robert?
Well, I think if you're a child, you're expected to pee in the pool.
I did. And, of course, I enjoyed it no end.
What, peeing in a pool?
No, swimming in the public pool. I mean, I grew up in Arcadia, California, and we had a huge public pool in the summertime. And it was right there at Arcadia Park. And it was where every kid in town went in the summer. And but, of course, as an adult where I had to go back to that pool, I wouldn't go in it with your bathing suit on, bud. There's not a chance on God's earth.
I would. I just to refresh my memories of the great days of yore.
You would? No, I'm saying, knowing that kids are peeing in it?
Well, you got to just take it with a grain of salt.
What are you talking about, man?
You go into a public pool knowing a kid pee in it.
Yeah, but it's not going to bother me because the memories would refresh me.
Get out of here. Most people shower after a day at the pool, but do you know anyone who's adamant about showering before going in the water? A public pool, it might be a good idea. Many parents don't understand the risk of water infection from public pools. Public fools. We already have the public fools. They're the ones that voted the money for the public pool. Anyway, the water infections from public pools and public and water parks, and few realize a pre-swim shower can largely prevent these illnesses. Recreational water illness, RWI, which are spread by swallowing, breathing in, or contacting contaminated water in some way, affect more than 10,000 Americans each year. Oh, God, that's right, man.
Yeah, just think about it. You ever take a big swallow of water?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's nasty as hell, man. Nasty as hell, dude. Public pools and water parks play a major role in spreading these recreational water illnesses. But few parents have their kids take the necessary preventive step, showering before you put your filthy little body in there. According to the University of Michigan C.S. Mott Children's Hospital, national poll, and, well, you know, it is kind of a, I think they should, but I can see how people, they don't do it.
Why?
Because they probably are thinking, what am I going to do? Have your kids shower. What? My child is very, parents are like that.
What do you mean?
Oh, they're going to get upset that, what are you intimating that my child is befouled of some illness? No, he doesn't need a shower. Just like my child doesn't have to have a shot. I won't give my child a whooping cough shot. I won't give my child this. I won't give my child that. He won't put, thank you very much. Put your dirty, nasty kid in the water and everybody is blind from it.
Not going to go blind.
Whatever it is, man. Some creeping crud, some crawling rash. Oh, man. The poll asked 865 parents with children ages 5 to 12 and asked them questions regarding their opinions about water park risks and basic water park rules. When asked about whose responsibility it is to prevent infections, 28% of parents indicated it's the sole responsibility of the water park staff. Furthermore, most parents chose to ignore parks' requests for hygienic pre-swim showers. Most parents chose to ignore.
Boy, you're right about that.
I'm telling you. I know people. If you say to a parent, we'd like your kid to shower because your kid may have some nasty-ass freaking disease on his skin that he's going to put in the water and give to other kids, the parent's going to be offended by that, and they will not have their kid shower. Not all parents, but there's a significant number of parents. There's just enough parents out there that are a pain in the ass to cause a problem in any walk of life, in having to do with anything. When asked about whose responsibility it is to prevent infections, 28% of parents indicated it's the sole responsibility of the water park staff. Furthermore, most parents chose to ignore parks' requests for hygienic pre-swim showers. Showering before a swim isn't just about curbing germs. A 2010 study by the University of Illinois researchers found that when swimmers' nitrogen-rich consumer products, such as cosmetics and sunscreens mixed with pool disinfectants, the products become chemically modified and converted into toxic agents. Ah!
What's going to happen?
Who knows? Did you ever see Toxic Avenger?
Yeah, I did.
You're kidding me.
Oh, quit getting scared. You go into the water, though, and you'll come out looking like Toxic Avenger.
No way.
Way, man. I'm telling you.
Bull crap.
You kidding around, man. Don't you know?
Are you kidding?
Well, what do you think? Although I'm telling you, I mean, what do you think they're saying here? They're saying that if you go into the pool and you've got on certain sunscreens or certain consumer products and it mixes with the chemicals in the pool, they turn into toxic agents and you come out of the water just looking just like that guy in RoboCop 2 who drove the van into that. Remember when we saw that movie?
Oh, that guy was all, he melted.
That guy melted, exactly. You come out with a melted head.
Yeah, remember that guy's head was all melted. Are you saying that's going to happen to me?
One can only hope, bud.
Shut up!
Oh, come on, will ya? Long-term exposure to toxic disinfection. Long-term exposure to toxic disinfection byproducts may be able to mutate genes, induce birth defects, accelerate the aging process, cause respiratory ailments, and even induce cancer! While 64% of parents feel it's very important for children to not swallow the water at a water park, only 26% of parents think it is very important to shower before getting into the water. What happens over there at, I forget, at Hurricane Harbor?
I don't think you have to shower. No.
We used to go to Hurricane Harbor all the time. I loved it, but I don't remember having to take a shower. And, of course, naturally I didn't because I don't need a shower. I'm very clean. Everybody else is filthy.
Exactly.
It's true that water parks should make sure that their water has been correctly disinfected, but disinfection can only go so far, the researchers say. Although chlorine kills most of the germs that cause RWIs within an hour, a parasite called Cryptoporidiaceus that causes abdominal cramping, diarrhea, and nausea can survive for days even if properly disinfected water. You got to get your act together, man. The best way to prevent the spread of RWIs like this parasite we were talking about is to prevent the parasite from entering the public pool in the first place. That means taking a shower so that your nasty, greasy, stinky body doesn't foul stuff up.
Man, I'm clean. I change my drawers every day.
We're talking about taking a shower, man. Different from changing your drawers every day. You gotta take a shower. You gotta clean up.
What about when you leave the house, then you go?
When you get there, they want you to take a shower. Don't take it personal, Mom and Dad, right? You know, don't think that because they asked your kid to take a shower, that means that you live in, that you use cow manure for soap, and that you live in a septic tank. Well, they're simply saying, for the safety of everybody just get in the water and take a shower. Anyway, the researchers recommend that parents make sure their children wash thoroughly with soap and water before swimming. Parents should also take the kids on bathroom breaks and frequently conduct diaper checks to prevent their children...
I'm peeing in the pool, man.
Unfortunately, this problem isn't limited to children. 1 in 5 adults pee in swimming pools. 1 in 5 so-called adults. How about that? According to a 2009 survey conducted by the Water Quality and Health Council. That pretty much puts the kibosh on it for me, man.
About going to a public pool?
That pretty much does it for me. I ain't going in there. No way, no way, no way, Jack. All right, speaking of nasty and foul, an Amish man, thank you. No, I'm kidding.
Amish man?
Oh, hold on. An Amish man who sent hundreds of sexually charged text messages to a 12-year-old girl was arrested last week when he drove a horse and buggy into a restaurant. He wasn't arrested for sexting the girl, but the horse and buggy went... No, I'm kidding. He was arrested when he drove a horse and buggy to an Indiana restaurant where he had arranged a rendezvous with the child.
Well, that's sexy.
But this has not got nothing to do with being sexy, okay? Nabbed in an undercover sting, Willard Yoder, age 21, is facing 4 felony counts for allegedly soliciting sex from the minor. Yoder is free on a $20,000 bond. So this is very weird. So,
it's not any weirder than any regular guy.
Well, that's true. It's not any weirder than any regular 21-year-old soliciting sex from a 12-year-old. But what makes it very weird is this cat pulling up in a horse and buggy.
What do you mean?
Are you hearing what I'm talking about? It's a freaking Amish guy.
Oh, you're definitely going to the ones who wear the bonnets?
Yeah, the women wear the bonnets.
Was the girl supposed to?
What girl?
The girl he was sexting.
Yeah, maybe he gets hot when they wear the bonnet.
Maybe he gets hot if they wear a bonnet. No, man, this guy's 21 and she's 12. In one text, Yoder told the girl...
What's his name, Yoder?
Bud, I'm going to start...
Sorry.
In one text, Yoder told the girl that the proposed sex act would happen in the buggy. Okay, great.
Probably the Amish rule.
I'm sure that it is the Amish rules to molest kids in buggies only. Yoder's contact with a girl began with a random sext, a random text sent to her phone. When the child's parents learned of their daughter's her phone, I thought the Amish people.
No, she ain't Amish, man.
Oh, okay. Well, how did he get it? I guess he got a hold of a phone. Anyway, when the child's parents learned of their daughter's contact with Willard Yoder, they said, well, Willard Yoder, we know him. He's the pervert Amish guy.
Yeah, he's a guy in a horse and buggy, and the horse is always aroused. And anyway, can you get out of here?
Probably what's going on in the buggy.
Yeah.
All right, so anyway, in one text, Yoder told the girl that the proposed sex act would indeed happen in... The proposed sex act will happen in my buggy. Yoder's contact with the girl began with a random text sent to her phone. Now, that's kind of whack. What is that about, you know?
The guy's a pervert, man. He's going to send that to any kid.
When the child's parents learned... Can Amish people have phones?
I guess they do.
When the child's parents learned of their daughter's contact with Yoder, they seized control of the phone and continued... they continued communicating with Yoder, who sent about 600 texts as well as nude photos and explicit videos to the girl.
Probably had to keep his hat on, though, for the nude photo.
Shut up and quit making jokes about this. This is about a kid being molested. Do you understand? Had to keep his hat on for the picture.
Maybe that's a religious thing.
The parents then contacted the police, and officers took over the sting operation. So he goes, this guy Yoder, boy, what a yokel. Yoder the yokel, man. He starts texting this girl. Well, rapidly, the parents take over. Next thing you know, within 14 texts, he's got the FBI, the CIA, and Russian intelligence. And meanwhile, he's there nude in a hat, raising a barn.
It's very embarrassing it winds up like that, but I don't think it went that far.
Obviously, I'm joking around, but the point that I'm making here is the cops took it over in very short order. After arranging the Wednesday night meeting, cops staking out the take-home restaurant reported seeing the outline of a carriage-type buggy pulled by one horse and what appeared to be one occupant. Oh, God. Investigators noted that Yoder... was wearing his hat, but some disco pants and boots. I'm kidding. I'm kidding, okay? No. Investigators noted that Yoder, who was busted outside the take-home eatery, was cooperative and walked his horse and buggy around the building and tied it to a post outside.
But probably there's a feed bin there, too.
Yeah, well, we must have that. During questioning, cops reported Yoder admitted contacting the girl's cell phone by chance and advised that he thought he was going to have sex with a girl... whom he thought was 13, and I don't know if that's legal in Amish town. Anyway, Yoder was, he also noted that he realized it was a bad decision and had never done anything like this before.
Well, that's one Amish guy, man, gonna be in trouble.
What do you think they'll do to him in Amish town?
I don't know, bud, what they'll do to him in Amish town. All I know is that this cat's in big, big trouble. He's gonna be a sex offender, that's number one, depending upon the laws. Whether he'll do jail time or pay a fine, I don't know. There was no contact made with this girl. There was no physical contact made with the girl. There was the text messaging and the attempted contact. So he's going to have to register as a sex offender. Okay.
Yeah, but how many sex offenders they got in the Amish? Like, if you look at the Amish town, how many they got?
What do you mean Amish town, man? Are you talking about where he lives?
Yeah.
I don't know.
He'd probably be the only one.
All right, well, then good for him. He's the only one. Anyway, so he'll probably have to register as a sex offender, and no doubt there's a heavyweight probation situation going on here. Whether he does jail time, I doubt it. But he will have a serious-ass probationary period. He will be a sex offender. I mean, this guy's, his actions, his physical actions will be controlled for the rest of his life because of this. So let that be a lesson. All right.
I'm not going to do it.
All right, but I'm just, even the Amish, you know, get stung. All right, the world-famous Phil Henry Show will be coming back. A hostage taker updated his Facebook page throughout the standoff, and now some of his Facebook friends may also face charges because these losers were helping him. We'll tell you more of the story when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. For patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Did you didn't know that?
Oh, will you stop being a jackass? Welcome back. And I say jackass with all due respect. We're not talking about jackass here. We're talking about Bud Dickman here. What do you want to know?
Because if Chris Hansen put it, did it.
You figured he'd do that, wouldn't he?
Chris Hansen's going to put on a fake beard and an Amish hat and do a sting?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Chris Hansen from To Catch a Predator puts on the fake beard and the bonnet, and he comes out with a horse and buggy.
Yeah, then he stings him.
Comes out and says, I'm Jedediah Hansen from...
Yeah, man, and say, hey, how you doing?
Yeah, man, that Amish guy, he'd pee his pants.
Yeah, great, bud. So glad that you know how to talk good, or gooder. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Here's a whack story about Facebook. You know, Facebook is, there's not a war going on, but there is a definite, there is a exodus happening from Facebook. And I'll tell you what it's all about. Facebook is considered, there is a Twitter, Facebook, it's not a war, but the two are two completely distinct classes now. There are people like myself and Mr. Rance and others, we can coexist in both worlds, Facebook and Twitter. We're cool, we get it. We don't walk around thinking we're better than anybody else. But I've been reading people over on Twitter saying Facebook is for morons and all this stuff. And I wouldn't agree 100% with that, but...
So you agree with a little bit of it.
No, I don't. No, I don't. Where's this guy's picture, by the way, Jace? Have you got a URL for this Wilmer Yoder, as long as we were talking about him? In any event... Jason Valdez is no stranger to Utah police. His latest brush with the law, however, may have been his most public brush with the law. And an armed Valdez held a woman hostage at a motel in a tense 16-hour overnight standoff with SWAT teams, all while finding time to keep his family and friends updated on Facebook!
Really?
Yes, really. On Facebook. He even got some help from outside friends over the social network. A friend posted that a SWAT officer was hiding in the bushes. Thank you, homie. Good looking out. When officers swarmed the room, Valdez shot himself in the chest with a handgun. He's in critical condition. The Associated Press reviewed Valdez's Facebook profile page on Tuesday. Police believe he wrote the messages during the standoff. In all, Valdez made 6 posts and added at least a dozen new friends. His family and friends responded with 100 comments. Some people offered words of support. Others pleaded for him to do the right thing. So he did. He shot himself.
What? You don't think that's the right thing?
Maybe I'm kidding. Court records show Valdez has a criminal history, including convictions for aggravated assault and domestic violence in front of a child. That's great, man. Good of you people to warn him, homie. Scumbag. In March, prosecutors filed felony and misdemeanor drug possession charges against Valdez. A judge issued a warrant for Valdez's arrest after he missed a June 1 preliminary hearing in the case. On Friday afternoon, Ogden police tried to serve Valdez with a felony drug warrant for the missed court appearance. He barricaded himself inside the Western Colony Inn there. I'm currently in a standoff, kind of ugly, but ready for whatever, he writes on his Facebook page. Valdez wrote this at 11:23. I love you guys, and if I don't make it out of here alive, then I'm in a better place, and you are all great friends. Wow, that's pretty heavy.
Why do I got to think you're going to be in a better place?
I don't know. Some kind of weird-ass religion. Some funky-ass religion that this cat has got, man. Valdez said this in a post that he was with a woman named Veronica. Police described her as a hostage. In his post, Valdez told friends when police shut off the power that his hostage was fine and with him willingly, and that police are jeopardizing her life by their actions. Valdez posted 2 pictures of himself and the woman. Got a cute hostage, huh? Valdez wrote of the photographs. At 3:48, one of Valdez's friends posted that police had a gunner in the bushes, stay low. Valdez thanked him in a reply. The final post, 7:25 a.m. on Saturday. Well, I was letting this girl go, but these dumb bastards made an attempt to come in after I told them not to, so I popped off a couple of more shots, and now we're starting all over again. Oh, so she wasn't a hostage. She was a hostage. She wasn't a hostage, but then she was a hostage because you were going to let the girl go. SWAT officers stormed Valdez's room, and he shot himself in the chest, not the head, and so he's still alive. God, not even smart enough to pop himself in the head. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Jason Rantz. Technical director is Dan Northcraft. And our associate producers, Fred Scotty and Chris Johnson. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is awful online, is also online, and is awful online at Phil Hendry Show, sometimes, philhendryshow.com. Hendry.